According to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, as we abide in and with you this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, beloved Christ the King community. This passage of the vine and the vine grower and the branches and the fruit comes to us within what is often called the farewell discourse, which spans five chapters in the Gospel of John, where Jesus and his disciples are spending their last intimate moments together before Jesus is arrested in the garden. Farewell discourses or farewell speeches are a genre in and of themselves that include typical components. First, the hero or narrator in our case, Jesus, announces their approaching death. And indeed, Jesus begins this discourse by telling the disciples that their time with him is coming to an end. It is time for him to go, and where he is going, they cannot follow. Jesus continues giving them words of encouragement, final teachings, predictions of what will happen, and he speaks of his purpose with a focus of relationship with God and the disciples, and what that means for the disciples in the coming future. The farewell discourse continues as Jesus consoles the disciples, promising them that the Paraclete, the Advocate, will be coming. They will not be left alone. Finally, Jesus prays out loud in front of the disciples, on behalf of the disciples, asking God to protect them and bring them into unity and holiness. Our gospel reading today is from the portion of this farewell discourse where Jesus is giving his disciples final instructions. He concentrates all of his teaching into a few main points of emphasis that he really wants them to remember, to grasp onto, and to enact. And so we hear this teaching about the vine grower, the branches, and the fruit. Jesus is using this agricultural example to teach a way of life to his disciples. In his time, a grapevine would be cultivated and planted and then left to grow for 3 years. And for those 3 years, any grapes growing would be cut off and not allowed to reach their full potential as a fruit in order to let the branches grow thicker and fuller. But then after 3 years, the grapes would be allowed to grow on their own, and by this time, the branches would be big enough and established enough to support those bunches of grapes. Next, after the harvest, the branches would be pruned back, allowing for a time of nourishment and rest, a time of abiding with the vine, this time for growth and renewal before a new season of grape production. And Jesus is highlighting this agricultural example as what the disciples need spiritually. He wants them to bear much fruit, to be productive, but in order to do this, he is commanding them first to abide. Abiding is absolutely essential to and precedes the bearing of fruit. It is only because the branches abide in the vine that they're even able to produce fruit. At the same time, branches cannot simply abide, as branches that remain dormant will become brittle and break off the vine, falling to the ground to be gathered as firewood. In both the life of a grapevine and also the life of a disciple, there is a rhythm, like a pendulum, swinging back and forth between abiding and fruit bearing. Following the adoption of my first son, I was asked to be the assistant humanitarian aid coordinator for my adoption agency, focusing efforts on a particular orphanage in Guatemala. And I accepted that challenge. Within a few years, people from my home congregation expressed an interest in long-term partnership with this orphanage, and so we began the process of forming a 501c3 nonprofit organization named Tree for Hope. The ministry of Tree for Hope grew and grew to the point of expanding our focus into healthcare and education and agriculture and youth empowerment through programming in music and psychology and food sponsorships and international service trips. And with this growth became an increased bearing of fruit. We went from taking care of needs of 55 children to 250 children, nourishing them in ways that were physical and emotional and spiritual, seeing all kinds of good fruit like better grades in school, better behavior at the orphanage, more intentional processing of trauma. We had plentiful volunteers and plentiful fundraising, and increasingly, tension was plentiful. Because within a few years, we reached a point of stress and anxiety and tension and conflict, as there was a lot of fruit to manage and a lot of ideas about how to best manage it. Our board of directors ceased to function effectively, work-home balance was disrupted for many, and I am embarrassed to admit this as your pastor, but intentional abiding with God was not happening. Board members and volunteers, which included myself, were spending much more time speaking louder to be heard rather than listening for what God was trying to point us toward. I myself had reached the point where one throws up their hands because I didn't know what else to do. And I sought help from a wise mentor of mine. His advice, start over. Have the organization take a pause. Rest from activities and fundraisers, sit with God, pray, and listen. Notice what God is up to already and follow God's lead. Rather than trying to force more fruit, root first, expecting no fruit. Evaluate, assess, dream, and mostly listen for God's direction. Jesus practiced this rhythm in his life and ministry. taking time regularly to go to the mountaintop, to rest, to pray, to be present with God in extended times of retreat, teaching his disciples by example to do the same. Disciples are not able to follow the commandment to bear fruit. They're only able to follow this command of bearing fruit if they are attached to the vine. The Gospel of John in particular carries this theme of abiding as essential for Jesus' disciples. The verb meaning to abide, in fact, appears 40 times in the Gospel of John, with an emphasis on remaining, staying, continuing to be present with God. Jesus shows the disciples how he does this, and then in this passage, they are commanded to do the same. It is imperative for them to abide in order to be a disciple and bear fruit. This passage from John is a really good one to bookmark, to screenshot and make your home screen, to tape to your bathroom mirror. And if I'm honest with you, this passage's focus on abiding calls me as your pastor to be accountable, to model by example, to challenge both you and myself, and to encourage this in our spiritual home. We all need to take this command of Jesus seriously, to abide in him, to spend time resting and planning and getting ready in order to bear fruit in a way that's abundant and juicy and maybe even surprising. And then after we bear fruit, we are challenged to swing that pendulum back to a season of abiding where we can evaluate and assess and tweak and observe and rest again in Jesus, listening for guidance and direction for when it is time again to swing that pendulum back toward fruit bearing. This teaching was countercultural in Jesus' time, and it's countercultural in our time as well. In a culture that values work and production with a focus on checking off the list, getting things done, always with a list longer than what could possibly be accomplished in a week, this teaching from Jesus is essential for you and for me to remember, because it is only when we step away from our culture of production and busyness, intentionally renewing ourselves in and with God, that we then bear the fruit of our identity as God's children. I will share with you those many years ago when I made the hard decision that Tree for Hope needed to pause, a time to abide in and with God to discern our missional next steps. The movement into that season of abiding was really hard. Some people were angry about stopping events and activities from the past that they had loved and wanted to keep. Others were confused and perceived this movement as a failure of leadership. Several of our prior board members backed away from Tree for Hope, disengaging their time and resources. But I will also tell you that over the course of the next year, the organization and its leaders and its volunteers, both in the United States and Guatemala, became closer to God and to each other. We listened. We met over meals to talk about what we were noticing God was up to. We communicated more frequently and directly with our Guatemalan partners and placed more value on their voices and those of the wider community than on our own individual preference. We began to intentionally plan and think about what kind of fruit it was that we most thought God was asking us to bring to ripeness. And then when the time came, and I'm talking about God's timing, Kairos timing, we were renewed and refreshed and ready to go. We had grown individually and communally, and we went forth bearing not only more fruit than we had before, but it was tastier fruit. It was more delicious fruit. It was abundantly glorious fruit. Fruit that then needed in time to be evaluated and assessed as we moved back again toward pausing and abiding. And so the rhythm goes. I am not telling you that intentionally abiding with God is easy, or that it's easy for other people to understand or value that seemingly unproductive time as important. But I am telling you that intentionally abiding with God is essential for disciples of Jesus to bear good fruit. So if you are at a point in life and ministry where you need to pause and abide for a while, then I, as your pastor, am giving you permission to be unproductive. I want you to be unproductive. I'm inviting you, and really, I'm challenging you to spend time simply abiding in the vine, resting in Jesus, to be grown and nourished by the vine grower, to rest and renew. And in that season of resting, notice what God is already up to and discern what kind of fruit God is calling you to bear. If you've been resting and abiding in God for a while, then I, as your pastor, am challenging you to discern where God is calling you to bear fruit. Some people are identifying with that. Please connect with me or somebody on staff. We are waiting and we're ready to help you in that discernment. We want to plug you in where your gifts are best used in our spiritual home. And these can be active types of service gifts, but also I want to encourage you that there are listening and praying gifts that we need as well to abide with each other on our journey in discipleship. If we take one final look at our scripture passage today, we're going to see a lot of yous in there. What do you think? In ancient Greek, do you think these are singular or plural yous? It is. I hate to say it. I'm still becoming Texan. It is the y'alls. They are y'alls. They are plural y'alls. All y'alls. I'm getting it. Although there is individual choice in intentional abiding, we're also called to abide together, y'all, with one another as we abide in God. We're called to abide with each other in times of both great sorrow and great joy, in times of faith, in times of hope. And when we abide together, when we are intentional to rest in Jesus, to listen, consider, and plan, then we bear fruit together that is sweet and juicy and more than what we could have done individually. And the rhythm continues back and forth. And we place the greatest value on what God is calling our community to be together in Christ for the sake of the world. So abide in Jesus. Hear Jesus' words of spirit and life for you. Hear Jesus' words of spirit and life for us. Jesus abides in you. God is present with you now and always. God is already moving within our spiritual home. May we renew and refresh ourselves in God. May we notice what God is already doing within our community. May we listen to where we are called to go, and may we go there together. Amen.